Time for Community Matters, brought to you by Metro County Hospital Health Systems. It's the final Wednesday of the month, which means it's time to talk to the city manager, Beloit, Jason Raby, who's dressed for radio today.
That's right.
He's dressed and ready to go so that everybody can not see how he looks today. Yes.
I actually heard somebody say something funny yesterday. They were like, you know, I don't have a face for radio.
Yeah, that's for me.
I don't have a voice for radio.
You don't have a voice for radio?
A face for TV.
But a face for TV.
Yeah,
so you can be on TV.
That's not what I said. They said that. Okay. I thought it was pretty clever. They didn't want to be on the radio.
So you could be an extra on TV but never be heard.
Yes.
And that's the way of looking at it, I guess. Yeah. So you got a nice
face.
I don't have
the golden voice like you know, some of you radio guys.
So basically what we're saying is you look good but you sound like crud. Is that what they're trying to
tell you? That's what this guy was saying. Yeah, not for me. But
for me, sound okay, look like crap. So you just don't end up.
You're working on it.
That's why I'm on radio. That's why I'm on radio. Exactly.
That's why we both are on radio right now.
Probably so. All right. Well, let's talk about, besides your future TV career, let's talk about what's taking place in the city of Beloit. What's the latest in regards to the bigger projects? I know, of course, you're always working on water. We've talked about that for a while. We'll probably talk about that for a while, too. But what do you want to start with today?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, it is the one that I want to start with probably is the water project. We actually... it's kind of like we said, I think over the last couple of times, it's like the steam locomotive getting out of the station, and that's what we're starting to gain some momentum here. And so obviously we've kind of talked about the KDHE principal forgiveness, you know, that they've kind of earmarked, you know, we don't necessarily have it awarded yet, but if we can dot all the I's and cross all the T's, we'll get it. It's to the tune of a little over $3 million. We're still waiting on USDA. We're hoping to hear something by the end of the month on that. But the cool thing that we're doing kind of for tonight, and again, if you're interested, you can come, but it's really geared towards the property owners, the potential property owners along the water pipeline route to the lake. So tonight we'll have an informational meeting with them to kind of, you know, go over that and what that all entails, what that might look like, and kind of the impact and all those things. So kind of those, we're trying to take those kind of real steps now as far as how do we actually, you know, not how, but you know, trying to make this thing actually happen. So that'll be tonight at 6 o'clock at the municipal building, and all those property owners along that route have been notified, but obviously it's open to anybody that wants to come, but we'll be kind of talking about some of the basics there and some of the first steps that they'll be doing, kind of some of the initial surveying. They have to, just like anything, you have to do what they call a cultural survey and an environmental review to make sure there's nothing that we're disturbing there that's historical in nature or, you know, some other thing that we need to be aware of. So those types of things will be happening. So that's kind of exciting because that's, you know, those are the type of things that need to happen in order for the actual plant to happen. And it's kind of nice to see some actual, I don't know, physical movement's the right word, but you know, I think a lot of people, and I can understand it, if you're not dealing with it every day, are like, is this really going to happen? Is this still really going on? And yeah, it's really going on, and it's getting pretty serious. So I think that's a positive development, and I think that's going to kind of keep accelerating here in the coming months.
So, and I've had this question asked of me. I don't know the answer. That's why I have you on.
Sure.
And I know you can't really pin it down to an exact date and time, but what kind of timeline are we looking at now? I know I've asked you this probably about a year ago.
Yeah.
Where are we at? Because it is a process.
It is.
But where are we at on that time frame or timeline?
Yeah, I would say we're really close to, if we get some of these final approvals nailed down, and that's the biggest thing is you're just, and it's still going to be continuing on after this, but trying to navigate the regulatory agencies.
All the red tape
and all that stuff. So that's the biggest part. And yeah, that's what I would challenge, you know, the state of Kansas, and if, you know, we had any representative, anybody listening, is, you know, that's, if you want to address water, that's what we need to fix. The manpower, or the, you know, the amount of resources, I guess is a better word, that they had to commit to getting these things approved and reviewed is just severely lacking. They know it, but that's what's going to fix. I think obviously money's a big part of it, but it shouldn't take 6 months or a year to get basic things approved, you know, and that's where we're at right now. And so, but anyway, so we're really close on that. So I look at it, you know, we're really close to entering what I would call the actual design phase for like a bid document, you know, which sounds crazy. You know, we've done some basic things, but this is to actually prepare this massive document that has to go out for bid. I mean, this is a pretty big deal, pretty big project, pretty technical. So that'll take probably, I would guess, you know, to get all those ducks in a row, to get the pipeline route, you know, the construction easements and the easement, whatever we need to get, you know, for all this stuff. Hopefully in this next year we'll be able to get that accomplished. And so maybe at this time next year we're getting really close to potentially going out for bids to get this thing done, and yeah, kind of penciled in my mind that, you know, maybe in the start of 2021 we're actually constructing something. Mm-hmm. So it takes time, but again, we've made those steps, and that's right. The tough thing to look at. You know, it's just like running a mile.
Sure.
It seems like a long way, so I won't do it till tomorrow. Right. I won't do it till tomorrow or whatever. Right. Until you take that first step, you're mm-hmm. still a step away. You know, sure. every step's a step closer to the finish line. So that's really what we're doing right now.
Once they would start on it, how long, what is the anticipated time to take to build it and put it together?
You know, kind of just what I put in my mind, just a year. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? This is a pretty massive thing.
Maybe by the end of 2022, maybe?
Well, maybe by the end, yeah, if we get sooner. Maybe mid-22, yeah. You know what I mean? If we're mm-hmm. building it in 21-ish.
Right. We're not holding it to it, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, but, because I think that, you know, if you can get it awarded maybe in the end of 2020-ish or right beginning of 2021, they can mm-hmm. start pretty quick.
Yeah.
And it might only be a 6 to 9 month construction project, but it's, you know, you never know.
So. And, you know, people jump in on this at any point in time in regards to being interested in the project or any project that any city or county or any government is working on. So forgive me, because I know we've talked about this before as well, but things may have changed a little bit. But I know people out there listening are probably going, okay, so how much is this going to, you know, what's this going to run? What's this going to cost? Yeah. And how's it being paid for? Blah, blah, blah.
Yep. Yeah, obviously this is just a revenue type payment mm-hmm. type process. So it's not really a property tax thing or anything mm-hmm. like that. It's supposed to be all supported through the water fund. And what we're trying to do is obviously make sure that we have if there's extra customers that we can grab, you know, some of the rural water districts or whatever, mm-hmm. to try to make this as affordable as possible. The other thing that, you know, with the KDHE, you know, it's roughly overall with the pipeline, everything, and we're talking big dollars here.
Sure.
It's an $11 to $12 million project. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with KDHE, you know, hopefully forgiving, you know, $3.5 million, that's a big chunk off. Mm-hmm. And then what USDA is doing right now, what they'll do is they'll say, hey, in Kansas, the average water bill, let's say for a family, you know, mm-hmm. let's say you use 4,000 or 5,000 gallons, you know, is X dollars. Mm-hmm. And you're projected with this project, if we don't put any money in after KDHE's money, it's going to go to Y dollars. Mm-hmm. Well, we think it should be in Z. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. we're gonna basically fund, you know, whether it's $1 million or two or three, to pull that back down. So it's obviously there's going to be some increased cost to the end user, but it's, you know, it's a smaller impact.
Right.
Does that make sense? So mm-hmm. you know, maybe going, instead of the average water bill, let's say is 40-ish dollars, it might mm-hmm. go to 45 mm-hmm. or something like that, you know. So but hopefully, and again, this isn't for everybody, but it's a way to think about it. And I've kind of thought about it, you know this type of plant, I mean, it's a reverse osmosis, it's ultra filtration, it should be, well, it will be mm-hmm. really high quality stuff. And so, you know, is that, you know, less than the need for bottled water or your extra filters, or it's easy on your plumbing and your water here. I mean, we all know that. We all pull our valves apart in our plumbing. It's full of lime, because that's just, you know, the type of process we use for the last 70 years.
Well, when you want nice things, you got to pay for it.
Yeah.
And listen, I think water is pretty important. We all consume it. We all use it. So if anybody's going to get all riled up down the line about, oh, my bill went up $5, well, I'm sure they went out and either, you know, I don't want to characterize people, but went out and bought a pack of cigarettes, bought a case of beer, went out and had a $50 meal at the restaurant, or went out and bought a brand new toy, whatever it may be. We all spend our money in different ways. Well, so, but to me, you know, if you're going to have to pay an increase in anything, this would be a good one to spend it on, because water affects us all.
Yeah, it is. And again, like I said, it's one of those things, if you look at it from a total package, you know, maybe it's going
to
save you in other ways.
It'll you won't have to buy a bottle of water.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, so I know for, you know, my family, that's just, I mean, we go through, you know, our
Or maybe you'll drink more water and be healthier because it tastes better.
It tastes better. Or it's healthier for you.
Healthier for you. Yes.
So yeah, there's still a lot of steps, but yeah, that's just it. It's a big project. It's something I know before I got here, Blaze talked about for decades.
Yeah.
And you know, we're getting pretty close to getting it solved.
Well, that's good.
Like,
I'm excited about it. I think a lot of people should be, because you've heard it and people complaining about this or that in regards to the water. This wasn't up to standard. You get that letter sometimes, and you know, this isn't going to cause this, but this could cause that, or whatever.
Absolutely.
And you're just like, those aren't letters you really want to be reading.
No,
especially when you're paying for your water.
Yeah, for sure.
That's good. Well, that's good news. Okay, well, let's shift to what else are you working on right now? What's the next highest priority?
Well, yeah, I think the big thing that we're working on now is trying to, you know, obviously we buttoned up that South Street drainage project that kind of really took up a lot of our the street guys' time this summer, but we got that buttoned up, and that should really solidify a known issue, especially in conjunction with last summer project that we've known about for quite a while, you know, again, decades, and we've gotten that resolved. So that was some really good moves by our council to approve those. But really what they're jumping to now is trying to get some of the street projects that we want to get accomplished. Again, we want to get West Main smoothed out and do a lot of curb work and get that street from Mill all the way to out into the country there to the city limits. Try to get that smoothed out and to be a better road. A couple other roads we're looking at of saying, hey, can we, you know, our big project obviously that we want to do eventually when finances allow is up on that North Walnut, you know, up by the high school and all that, trying to get that rebuilt, because that road, we've done some work on it, put a good Band-Aid on it, but of course that's only going to be right. It's exactly what it is. It's a Band-Aid. So, but some other roads, you know, or some of the high traffic stuff, we've been going after KDOT for some grant money to obviously finish up 14, North 14 up there by the Rays and Thompson and all that stuff. We haven't met the threshold yet on that. Sure. And then we're trying to get South 14 done. Again, through KDOT, because it's, again, kind of a joint road on that. But two of the roads that we're kind of seriously looking at as far as is there opportunity for some mill and overlay because of the traffic and the different things are that Asherville Road kind of out the southwest southeast part of town and that thing down there, you know, by Carrico's and all that. It takes a lot of traffic. You know, you got CBA and Nutrien and the elevator and all that stuff coming through there. And if you drive that road, you can really see where it's really got, pounding. It's just only going to increase. So there might be some fairly affordable things to do on that. And again, that's just another main entrance into town. And obviously kind of that 8th Street and, you know, even across 14, you know, kind of both sections. I mean, that road, again, is another road that can we do some, in the scheme of road building, some fairly affordable stuff to give this road a good life. And you know, if anybody ever has a question, I mean, there's definitely, we get traffic counts from KDOT that does it on those. And those are some of our highest, traveled roads, you know? So those are some things that we're trying to look at, you know, trying to gear up for especially in the early spring, you know, to say, hey, is that something we want to get lined up to get done? And kind of thing. So
Well, if you got a little extra money, you can come on over near my house on the
exterior. I don't know what's underneath that road there.
I don't know, but they patch it, and God bless them for patching it, but it didn't last very long. I mean, that's the way it is. They patched it yesterday. I almost stopped and said, because I was going home tomorrow for a late lunch, and I almost said to those guys, like, so how long is this going to last? Yeah. Because I'm not trying to be mean to anybody, I didn't say nothing, by the way. But it's like, it's kind of a Band-Aid on it.
Well, for sure.
It just, you know.
It's obviously got something underneath it.
And the heavy trucks that go through, farm trucks go through there, and, you know, all it takes is a little bit of heavy traffic. Next thing you know, that's coming out again. Yeah. So, if you have any extra money to throw around, Nick, and maybe, you know, fix that a little bit, that'd be cool. I'm not trying to put you on the spot or anything. You're aware of it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yep.
Yeah, there are places that you have to deal with. And, of course, that's one of the biggest challenges you have is in regards to, you know, figuring out what is most important, what's the priority and the amount of traffic and everything else. And that's not easy.
And it's just kind of a methodical approach to it, you know, and obviously we have some dollars, you know, the sales tax thing is meant to go towards that stuff. And that's what we've been doing and saying, hey, when it allows, let's tackle that next big project. Cause even some of these overlay things that we're talking about are still hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, but they're a lot cheaper than millions for a complete road rebuild. Like we had to do on East Main or something like that. But a lot of those roads have pretty good life and pretty good base, and is there a way that we can continue to do that and still obviously, you know, like your North Walnut up there by the high school, now that one probably needs a complete deal with concrete and curb and all that stuff, because it's not really, it's more just an open ditch road right now, and so that's why it has its problems. But it's also our most traveled road in town, you know what I mean? So besides 24 going through town, but so those are kind of the things. You know, the other things that we're really trying to work on is, again, kind of the interns, what they did this summer. And I've kind of been around sharing that. I hope to get around more to get that out in front of people. But obviously, you know, they had a lot of impact on people. And again, that's something that, again, brings a lot of people to town, whether it's the sports complex or Chautauqua Park. It's one of the most searched things in Mitchell County is Chautauqua Park, you know. So trying to figure out, you know, how can we you know, continue to make those better places as affordably as we can. But again, I think both of them in one way or another impact pretty much everybody in town. You know what I mean? Like, we all have, either whether it's in the sports complex, we all have kids or grandkids, or whatnot. And then the Chautauqua Park, again, that's something that can serve everybody. Mm-hmm. So those, again, are the things that, you know, obviously, are they as critical as a road or a water project? Obviously not.
Right.
But they're still critical for a town and something that we need to attract and retain people.
Yeah. So. And this is certainly not as much as critical, but since you brought up the interns, you know, they're working on signage that people would know what town they're coming through. And that's one thing that's lacking. You and I've talked about that. And a lot of people know that. And, you know, Glen Elder's done a wonderful job here. They got new signs now right on the road and one right up here on the hill.
Yep.
Those look sharp and
nice. It can be done.
Get your attention.
It can be done.
So I'm sure that's something that you guys would like to work on as well.
Yes. I mean,
we went to the State Fair in Hutchinson, and it stood out like a sore thumb in a good way, was Inman. I don't know if you've seen.
Yes.
That is cool.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
I'm not going to lie to you. I know where Inman is. I've actually done games there back
then.
But I really know it is. But if I didn't know what it was, guarantee you, I would have no idea what that town was without
absolutely.
That sign.
Yeah. So that's just it. They gave us a great handoff, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
So they've kind of put, you know, they're the quarterback.
Or the baton, whatever you want to use
for an analogy. We got it, you know. Yeah. So, but I think that's where those committees here, everybody's back to school, everybody's off vacation.
Right.
So those committees will get back together because it is, I'm sure it's what Glen Elder's done, Inman. Mm-hmm. It's just trying to get the space exactly located, we've kind of done, and now just raising the money. And that's what a lot of these are. They're usually driven by fundraisers and that kind of thing because you can kind of do a sign at a time and get it done. And I think exactly if anybody's seen the ones that the interns developed for Beloit, and if they look something similar to this, they'll be pretty memorable as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going to be really cool is people, you know, whether it's your favorite exact design or not, nobody's ever going to find that for everybody.
No.
But on the flip side, people aren't going to drive through here and be like, man, what
town was that?
What was that? You know, it's going to be kind of like that Inman
situation. It was a cool town, but I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember that sign. You know, it's kind of like if you ever drive south to Dallas, I can't remember what town it is, and that shows it's probably the weakness, but I'll never forget and always remember when I get there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's that, you know, with the cattle drive, and they all look fake, but it's a memorable entrance sign, you know what I mean? So those are the things that we want to stick with them.
Sure.
And
it's called marketing and advertising.
Exactly, yeah. and it makes you think, oh, that town's kind of cool. You know what I mean?
Right.
Those are exciting things that just are good for Beloit, you know what I mean?
And absolutely. All right, anything else to cover before we let you go?
I pretty much covered the important ones. Yeah, there's probably tons, but
we could have you on for hours.
If we go through every single thing.
It'd
get pretty boring. So.
Yeah, well, if anybody has any questions or thoughts or concerns, they always can contact you, right?
That's right. Yep, email or phone. So.
Okay, sounds good. Jason Rabus, City Manager of Beloit, always a pleasure talking with you. And we will chat with you again the final week, final Wednesday of October. And then we can preview Halloween, and you can come in your Halloween costume.
I'll do my costume, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty scary costume you got right
now.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Community Matters brought to you by Mitchell County Hospital. Health systems. a voice of radio and a face for TV.
Face
it's
for
a
TV,
lethal combination, Gershner and Raby.